As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Jay Beakley, Julio Sanchez. So much of this video, we'll get into it tomorrow, but so much of this video is coming out from the Super Bowl. Everybody's mic'd up. There's one thing, this will cheer you up if you see it. Trey Wingo put it out on, or retweeted it. It was Chase Snyder that originally had it on Twitter, I guess. It's the turning points from NFL films. It's Karloftis with Kittle when that ball was fumbled by McCaffrey. Yeah. And he just said, hey, George. And he like distracted him while he jumped on the football. See, that'll cheer you up.
Love that. I love that. Which, like, I was in Vegas also, which is another reason, quite honestly, that I'm exhausted. Because that was a very long, long weekend.
Were you working the entire time?
No, I was there in a fun capacity.
Oh, good.
And I very much enjoyed myself, maybe a little too much.
Really? Did you win any money?
No, I'm not a gambler. I went there
in
strictly
Vegas,
to fun. I am not a, I work too hard for my money to gamble it away.
I get it.
Didn't place one bet. But and I can't bet sports anyways, working for the Chiefs.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
Not even.
But there, you know, there is a lot of things to do, though. You can watch those fountains of Bellagio.
We did that.
You can watch is the pirate show that's still there from Treasure Island. They still got that there?
I had one too many adult beverages, so my memory is a little bit fuzzy.
Good. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Well, I took a lot of that home with me, and it's still with me right now. I'm still feeling it.
So. Good.
Not everything stays in Vegas.
Well, it doesn't, but you need to clear your mind right now. You need some, again.
Thank goodness for a long weekend.
Yeah, you need it, man.
Yep.
Hopefully tomorrow you're not doing much.
I'm still working.
You know,
I still worked a full day at my
day job. You're doing a meeting
today. Yep, and, I'll work a full day tomorrow, and like I said, thank goodness for a three-day weekend.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. But what I ask you, and I know your answer because you've already told me, the parades, right? The parades, you're going to go to the parade again? Because I heard the other shows talking about this, and I find that interesting. I am curious, like celebration parades, whether it's, you know, another world championship, because there's been four now. We've had four since 2015. I mean, we're kind of becoming Title Town USA in this town. It's just something that happens, and
beautiful.
Like, I'm shocked we even have one in this town, because I was 12 years old when the Royals won it in 1985, and I remember that. It's like, you ever going to see it again? Because, we're going to see plenty with the Royals, because they were the highest spending team in the late 80s, right? They spent, like, 1989, they were the top spending team in baseball with Ewing Kauffman and everything, you know, cable television explosion and everything went out. So, you're like, when are we going to get one again? Then all of a sudden, 30 years later, you know, the Royals get one. And everybody goes down there, and then all of a sudden the Chiefs have been rattling off 3 and 5 years, and they got the route down. They know exactly where you're going. I mean, the Union Station, you know exactly what you're doing. I mean, and they've always had one of the biggest St. Patrick's Day parades in the United States. And it's one of those things you get used to going, but do people still going to go? You still want to go?
You know, here's another point, and this is also kind of what solidified. And again, everyone can make their own decision on whether they're going to attend these types of events. But I don't know if you remember the previous parade of when, you know, someone came down the parade route in a car. Do you remember that?
That was the first Super Bowl, right?
The first Super Bowl. And I was down there for that.
And they got it right away. Again, the law enforcement got it right away.
Right away. But, you know, seeing that, that happened the first, you know, Super Bowl parade. Last year was all good and, you know, wonderful, beautiful. But that happened the first Super Bowl parade. Now this happens on our third one. Again, everyone makes up their own mind, but between those two incidents, and I was right there. Again, I saw the person driving through the parade route.
Damn, man.
Like, those things stick with you. And for me, I would most likely, at least for the foreseeable future, be avoiding those types of crowds for now, because it's just, you know, until things change or until we can more securely, you know, we can have these function in a more secure area, It's not for me.
Because what I've heard, the people discuss, do it at Arrowhead or whatever. That way you can control 70. You could probably put more than that in there because you could probably fill most of the actual field with seats.
But at least you have a controlled environment. They can control who comes and goes. Yes.
And it's not like they just have won one. You know what I'm saying? They've won four now.
Well, and I think,
but people still showed up. I don't know what the final attendance numbers were, but it was... What do you think? You've been to all of them.
This looked to be bigger than the other three, the other two that I had been to. I think the Royals, maybe because it had been so long.
It's been colder too at these events. That was perfect.
Yeah, and the Royals was pretty a pretty warm day. So I think that was maybe like size wise, it was pretty comparable to this year's. But the parade itself, I think it is okay. I think it was more when you have a crowd that size for that amount of time in one location, that's when things get hairy. I think the parade route itself, okay, it's spread out over very long distance. They're moving, right? Players are moving. The buses are moving. People are coming and going. That's different than having a stationary area where you have that many people. Again, it doesn't matter how many law enforcement individuals you have there, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
It's a lot different. Remember 2015? You had cars just leave it on themselves on the highway. Just to be part of it. It seems a lot different now. Like, people have gotten used to it. Like, it's actually become the place to be. The NFL draft went smooth. I mean, there's relatively few arrests at any of the parades and everything else that happened. I mean, they've got the thing pretty well controlled. I was just curious if people wanted to go to will things be different? Will you watch a Denver parade and be like, what's going to happen? Or, if somebody else wins, Major League Baseball happens, the NBA happens, you're going to be able to watch the victory parade? Or you going to think, like, you're going to be able to watch it or think back to what you did? Because I knew a bunch of families and stuff that had already gone to, like, maybe two parades. And they're like, oh, they'll skip this one and go watch it on TV. Yep. But then there's that allure because the day was so nice and you're going down there because people want to celebrate their football team. They want to go, and they want to go to the parade. And I just didn't know how long it would take you. And obviously, you're different because you saw some things there and you were in a situation. You didn't know what the hell was going on. You didn't know anything was going on. I mean, it was just, you had no idea. I mean, you literally had no idea.
No, and I think
15 people, is it 20 people, is it one person, is it two? You had no idea.
I would still go in a working capacity, but I don't think I would take my family down there.
Sure.
And I feel, privileged to be able to, and what I did was not by any means, I'm no hero by any means, but having been able to kind of secure some of those families and get them into a more secure location to where they can calm down and figure out what's going on and feel a little more safe, that is one silver lining that I can take from that is to give some of those families maybe a little bit of peace of mind within that situation.
Yeah, text line 816 says, I don't think you can stop doing fun things like the parade. If you do that, that's another life taken. People stop going to church, the store, even a restaurant. You have to believe there are more good people than bad. True.
It's all true. Yeah,
but it's your individual decision if you want to go. Like, again, I don't like mass crowds. I mean, it has nothing to do with shootings or anything. It has nothing to do with any of that. It just, I mean, honestly, it's
personal
about
preference.
Convenience and, some people have that about going to games, just watching games somewhere. They rather have their own 6-pack or 12-pack in their fridge or in their own bathroom and not mess with it. Everybody's different. Like, when it comes to games, people are, they don't want to be there. Some like going, some don't.
It's a different, right? When you're going to games, it's a different type of environment. And I feel much more comfortable going to a Royals game, going to a Chiefs game, going to a sporting game, because it is a little bit more of a control. It is a more controlled environment, right? You're gauging every individual coming in and out of those stadiums.
Yeah, but that would suck where you didn't feel comfortable going to a damn game.
Working, right, and seeing the amount of security that goes into those games. Now, look, there's going to be faults in every security process when there's that many people involved. But I will say the Chiefs do an excellent job of gauging who is coming and going through that stadium. So in those environments, I feel more comfortable. It's these outlier parades where it's just too open, too many people, and too many entry points for things like this to happen. But it's just my personal preference. And for me, again, if until things change, I mean, this is going to continue to happen. And I would just rather not put my family specifically in those types of situations.
Sure, sure. I get it. I went to the Smithsonian a long time ago in the White House. This is way before like 9/11. You know, it was much different security-wise. You were able to just go do things, right? But still, though, the people watching things like the Declaration of Independence and stuff, I mean, they're watching everything you're doing. They're nice about it, but they're watching. You're being watched.
Yep.
And you know what I'm saying? Yep. There's just people that have that sixth sense. You know what I'm saying?
But you can watch all you want. Again, I mean, it only takes a second for someone to pull out a gun and stuff to go awry.
Yeah, just the individuals and how bad they do. But I am curious if you would go to things or not. Here's one that says 913 says I 100% go to the next one. Here's 913. I don't want to go anyway. I get that. I'm just kind of curious what people would go. I mean, again, my mindset was go. I mean, if that's what you want to do, go. But then there's Julio, and I totally get his, and I don't think he would judge anybody going or not going or anything else. It's just his how he feels. And until you've gone through that, it's just it's tough to say. It's tough to say, hey, come on, Julio, let's go to the parade again. I mean, never do that. After seeing you, could change my mind in a second.
Change your whole life, man.
You've changed my mind just seeing you tonight. Let's go to Jeff in Kansas City. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, guys? First of all, Julio, hearing your story, that's pretty impressive, man, getting families into safety. I was actually on the west side of Union Station. My story is not heroic. My daughter convinced me to go to the parade, which I wasn't going to go, and she ended up going to the parade, and I just went to Union Station. So she was already out of there before all this went down. My nephew and I and a buddy of mine were at Union Station, and we were walking out, and I heard something, and I looked at my buddy. I go, "Is those gunshots?" And he goes, "No, those are just some morons firing off fireworks." So we just kept walking. But the reason I'm calling, my nephew stayed behind, and he had some different experiences. But I think my biggest concern is this. My wife looked at my 360, tracked me on 360, and said that I had left that position like 2 minutes before the shooting start. But my whole point, it's not political. It's more societal. You see all the different camera angles and phone angles and everything like that, and people are standing there taking video as crisis is going on. I think we need to do better as society. I get it. You want to get that video and everything, but when there's a crisis, just move it along. And
you know, I know what you're talking about, because I've seen that too. You know, the video does help. Like, if there's video surveillance, people want to see it. I mean, the police and law enforcement will like to see video. You know, I'm thinking you can get a lot of things from video. You can see when things happen and what they do. I know they like anything. I mean, the FAA likes it for, you know, plane crashes or anything. Anybody has got any kind of video. But you're right. The first inclination of people shouldn't be grabbing their damn cell phone. It should be, you know, jumping in and helping. And that's the unfortunate part about it.
I think there's like three different stories here. Like those heroic people, like Julio and those guys you tackled. And then people who are standing around video. And then there's a story like mine where I told my mom, I said, I never really felt in danger, because as I was walking away, there were 8 police officers. It was so, and I was going to say, man, without this happening, beautiful day and great. And my buddy and I just looked at each other. This is a great day. And we missed that. We missed that crisis by minutes. But yeah, you see it. You don't just see it with these types of situations. You see all kinds of videos of people like videoing fighting and everything like that. Step in and help or go away. You don't need to, glorify these.
Well, I know storm chasers fight that, right? Because they always have footage of the tornado aftermath. And people are always like giving those guys a hard time. Like, hey, did you jump in and help the people get out of that house that's sitting there destroyed? Or did you just sit there and take video of it?
Right.
And a lot of them do. A lot of them do jump into it. But I think there probably are those that just take video of it too.
Yeah, I told my nephew, I said, dude, stop taking video and get home, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, all right. Hey, well, Jeff, the question is, would you go to another one?
Wasn't going to go to this one. The only reason is the one person who asked me that could have asked me was my daughter. So
Okay. If she asked you again, would you go?
I think I would, man.
Okay.
Too much crowd.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I was just curious, you know, the reaction. Obviously, you didn't want to go in the first place because the crowd. I get that, man. Sometimes people don't like to do that. But he's right about the filming stuff. You've seen that, like, there were people doing...
someone has to do it.
No, someone does.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
But here's the thing, though: if you get someone tackled on the ground or whatever, jump in and help. Besides, just stand back and film it. You know,
but
what I mean?
You don't. You know, the thing is, Pink, you don't know everyone's situation.
I know,
right?
I know.
You want to jump in and help.
I mean, if you're a kid or somebody crippled or something, you can't do it. But
right, you have someone that's relying on you. You know, you can't ask someone to put themselves in harm. You know, they have a small child, they have an elderly parent they're taking care of.
Sure.
Whatever the case may be, everyone's situation is different.
But video does help.
And any little thing you can do, whether it's taking photos, whether it's taking video, whether it's jumping in and actually taking action, or just helping people get out. You know, any little thing you can do helps. And what that means for any one individual, who's to say? But, you know, I will say people did a good job of getting out of the way. You know, it was unfortunate in Union Station seeing people being trampled like that. But for the most part, you know, especially out in the crowd, people did a good job of dispersing and not necessarily. It's just tough when you're in such a confined area like that.
So kind of cattle herding in the beginning, then it kind of became more orderly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the scariest thing. Everybody's just kind of running like when the disorder happens. But it was actually you saw something different.
The scariest part was watching people run, scream, and trample each other while gunshots are going off.
Because they're just unsure of the situation.
They're just
100%.
Yeah, they're just trying to get away. You know, and who can blame? Who can blame them?
No, nobody can blame them. But did you hear the Trey Smith this morning?
I have, yes.
Because you have your own story, LeJarius Sneed. You saw doing the same thing, and you saw other Chiefs, you know, comforting kids and stuff like that. Well, Trey Smith tells a great story on Good Morning America next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley. Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Check out Bob Fesco on Twitter, at Bob Fesco. He's putting a lot of the GoFundMes out there. The victim, or the casualty, everybody... It was hurt, technically a casualty, but the deceased, Lisa Lopez Galvin, a link to her GoFundMe page, and the Reyes family, picture there as well, two daughters injured in the shooting on Wednesday. The two GoFundMes are there if you'd like to help out, because I know people would probably like to do something, because that's Kansas City, man. That's what they do. They help people out. I'm pretty proud of the way the city's reacted to everything, to be honest with you, Julio.
Yeah, if there's one thing I can say about, you know, the city of Kansas City, we rally around each other like no one else.
How do you feel, man? Because the text line, they got your back. I mean, I'm getting text. You got text on here. Look out for Julio, man. It's a powerful story from Julio. People want to hear your story. People can go check it out as well on the After Hours podcast, 610sports.com. How do you feel with the reaction? Because it's been all, they like...
Yeah,
it meant something to people, Julio.
You know, like I told you, you know,
the city, man.
Other than you know, my family, I haven't posted a single thing on social media. You know, I haven't talked to again anyone other than my family.
You are not a look at me guy.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's a reason why I've been here as long as I have been, and just enjoy pressing the buttons, right? But you know, it took me again. I didn't even know that. I felt like coming in tonight to tell my story, but it was important for me. And honestly, the amount of love that has been shown from the text line and from callers, it's healing. It really is healing. And I hope that same feeling spreads to those other individuals and families that also went through, you know, the experience directly or indirectly. And I could not be more appreciative of everyone and their kind words and the sentiments that, you know, that they're putting out there. It's been healing for me, and it's good to have been able to get some of that off my chest.
Like I mentioned with Fesco here, the Reyes family, they had the two daughters injured in the shooting on Wednesday. There's the GoFundMe. There they are standing like in front of the Christmas tree, right? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what they're and then Lisa Lopez Galvin, like her family, the DJ, what they're going through? Because it seems like everybody, like at some point, there was a connection to this individual.
Yeah, and like I was telling you, you know, unfortunately, the victim, her son, also works with my sister. And so, you know, she has a direct connection to the family. So, you know, in one way or another, it touches, you know, pretty much everyone here. And everyone has their own story. But it directly affects pretty much everyone here in the city.
Here's 816. They want to add $100 to the Kansas City Crime Stoppers tip hotline. Good. Great cause. Law
Anything
enforcement,
you can do
give
to
them
help,
law enforcement money. Like I said, see these guys out, man. Hey, what do you want to eat? What do you want to eat? There you go. Because you know what? They'll have your back.
Yep.
They'll have your back. You may be doing something, and all of a sudden, they help you out. Repay it, man. Pay it forward. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But anyway, I love seeing what the people doing. And here's the thing. When I talked to you this morning, because I kind of knew your situation a little bit, because the other people that you had talked to here, and just wanted to call you today. You know, hey,
I appreciate
you still, you know, don't, you know, you're like, hey, I'm coming in. I was like, good. Because part of me was like, am I going to get a text or the email that says Julio can't make it?
I thought about it, man. I
know you did. I know you did.
Day.
But part of me thought, there's no way in hell, because he'll show up. Because a part of me said, nah, he wants to tell a story because he feels it'll help somebody. And knowing him, he'll show up, because I knew you'd walk that door.
I mean, how can I not? Again, like I said, you know, if it helps, my story helps one person relate to what we're going through, and it helps them, that's why I'm here.
That's part of it. It's Kansas City, man. Kansas City's giving back to you. I mean, it's what the city is.
It is.
You always thought this town, this city, someone's doing something for somebody. It's just going to happen.
Yeah. Yesterday's events was not, you know, you hear people say that that's not Kansas City. Maybe to a certain degree it is, right? Because it happened. But there is much more love and compassion for our city and how we treat us. Like, we are known, right, for tailgating. We are known for embracing other teams' fans coming in and showing them a good time. Like, that's what our city is known for. We love.
Midwest nice.
We are Midwest nice. And it's just unfortunate. And again, a few individuals just ruin it for everybody. But they are by no means a reflection of who we are as a city.
Julio, I was out at a Patriots-Chiefs game years ago. And
I'm sorry.
And there was this mall nearby, right? Or shops or whatever. And restaurants, whatever. And I went in. And I was like, just something simple, man. I was like, well, how was your day, man? How are you doing today? I could tell she was stressed out or whatever. I said, how you doing? Is the clerk there at the deal? You know? And she looked at me with a kind of a mean stare. Like, what the hell would I be asking you what the hell is wrong with, or am I having a good day or not? Like, everyone was like, have a good day. You know, when you go to the grocery store and you buy something, someone says, you having a good day? You think they care? I mean, they probably don't. But if you sit there and tell them, it's kind of funny, actually. Like, they're just like, well, you know, I woke up this morning and things, you know, and they'll look at you because it's one of those in passing, like, hope you're having a good day or something like that. Actually, I'm not. You know, something like that. She looked like that kind of shocked.
You
that
know,
someone said hi to her.
You know, I'm an East Coast guy. I come from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, coming from the East Coast and living here for so long now, it's a much different atmosphere. The way people treat each other, you know, you walk down the street, you drive down the street, and you say hi to your neighbors, you wave, you know, you just in passing, you look each other in the eye, and you say, nod your head. That, I promise you, and I'm not, I don't want to stereotype, But for the most part, my experience is, again, growing up on the East Coast, that that's not how things are done. And they will look at you as a weirdo if you're, how are you doing? Or how's your day?
It's why we like this town, man. Yeah. This town's going places. It's doing things. Things are getting built. And
really, truly.
We got new stuff, new airport. We got new stuff. Kansas City's just different, man. It used to be flyover country. It's not flyover country anymore. It's stopping.
We're a destination.
It's stopping lose to our teams. It's basically what it's been. People in this town rally. I remember the Joplin tornadoes. Like almost everybody knows somebody, at least from Kansas City, that either donated money or time or know somebody in the National Guard, you know, that headed down there and did things. But, you know, the amount of support. I remember that when the tornado hit, I mean, that was brutal. And Joplin came up here and played a football game. I think it was against Ray Peck, and they had it at Arrowhead. Like, it was a fundraiser.
I remember that.
And people in this town showed up to give money and stuff to the Joplin football team, you know, because they were playing there at Arrowhead Stadium. That was cool because people, they said the 13 seconds thing that happened with Mahomes going down and tying up the Bills and sending it to overtime. Like, people in Kansas City kept writing checks for $13 for the Children's Hospital in Buffalo. Like, people rallied around and made several hundred thousand. People were giving money to the kicker, Tyler Bass, from the Buffalo Bills when he missed those kicks. People in this town were doing that. And I know Buffalo gets in, you know, their name out there for, you know, doing things for people. This town does it, too. A lot of it.
Yeah. No, it's something about, I think it's more, you know, the mid-market kind of feel, right? You got kind of some of the big city stuff, but you also have the small town love and appreciation for
It's like
for
the biggest
like
small town of America. I remember 9/11, the Giants, you know, first played here at Arrowhead Stadium. I'll never forget the week of 9/11. I was doing high school football broadcasting back then, and we had a game at St. Pius that night. It was a game of the week, right? And it was the week of 9/11. Like, the high schools, you know, were still going at it and stuff like that. And it was Friday night of that week. And I'll never forget, like, the national anthem that night, ever.
Goosebumps.
Every single person stood and sang it. I didn't even know if they had a singer. I think they just played the music with it. But every human being sang the national anthem because it was the week of 9/11. It was probably the most powerful experience I've ever experienced in sports, to be honest with you, at that high school football game that night.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, it was goosebumps, man.
Powerful stuff.
I mean, it completely was. But anyway, Trey Smith, as I mentioned, Julio told the story, too, of seeing several Chiefs, you know, trying to – kids that had lost their parents and whatever, in the mass confusion. You said the confusion, people trampling people and, you know, trying to, you know, looking out for the kids, being part of the community, that they play. And here's Trey Smith, one of the good dudes in professional football on Good Morning America this morning.
Security guard just ushering us through the doors quickly, just saying, you know, come on, hurry up. It's okay, this is not a joke, it's a life and death situation.
Smith forced to run for his life, finding shelter in a closet, guiding as many people as he could to safety.
Right before I run in there, there's like a little kid in front of me, so I just grab him, just yank him, and just tell him, you're hopping in here with me, buddy. So I don't know how many people there were in the closet, maybe 20 plus. One of my teammates, my long snapper, James Winchester, was very instrumental in helping keep people calm. We end up getting the green light to be able to get out of there. We end up walking to the buses.
The Chiefs team buses is soon filled with frightened.
Hang on one second. We had a little snafu there with it. This is Trey Smith once again on Good Morning America. Here's the... I don't know what happened there. Here we go.
With me, buddy. So I don't know how many people there were in the closet, maybe 20 plus. One of my teammates, my long snapper, James Winchester, was very instrumental in helping keep people calm. We end up getting the green light to be able to get out of there. We end up walking to the buses.
The Chiefs team buses is soon filled with frightened bystanders trying to escape the madness outside.
This little boy was with his father. Oh, he's just a little hysterical. He just panicked. You know, he's scared. He doesn't know what's going on. And, you know, I had the WWE belt on me the entire parade. And, you know, I was thinking, man, what can I do to help him out? I just handed him the belt. Hey, buddy, you're the champion. No one's going to hurt you. No one's going to hurt you, man. We got your back. We just start talking about wrestling. You know, who's your favorite wrestler? What was your favorite wrestling match? And just little things like that just to take his mind off. Like, he was looking out the window and he was seeing people, you know, just reacting away. They were trying to get out of that situation. So I'm like, here you go, buddy. This is yours. You know, man, like, so again, no one's going to hurt you when you're here with us. Thank you for protecting, buddy. You're going to be A-okay. You're going to be all right.
Smith is still in shock that a day of joy could turn so violent.
I'm pretty angry because it's senseless violence. You know, someone lost their life today. You have children that are injured. You have children that are traumatized. I'm hurting for, one, the families and the people who got impacted, the city of Kansas City.
Nice job, Trey Smith. Nice job, Trey Smith. Gave the WWE championship belt to the kid. And you witnessed this firsthand, this stuff that went on. And I've heard about Winchester doing this a lot.
Yeah, I wasn't around the area where they were.
But you saw
with the closet. But yeah, I saw Legarius was there, right in the middle of all of it, just out in the open. And it's again, in those types of situations, there's no discrimination. You can be a professional football player, the best in the world. You can be a small child. You know, there's no discrimination in those types of situations.
Yeah, it shows you about this town. Shows you a little bit about Kansas City. Did you see the police today? They took some of the they were guarding kind of the stuff that was the chairs and stuff there. They put Casey Strong.
Yeah, yeah.
They made Casey Strong out of it. That was pretty cool.
That was cool. Agreed.
I have a feeling we might be seeing that around Casey Strong's type stuff, right?
I love it. I love it, man. It's all in support, you know?
I think so, too. But anyway, we'll take a time out. Danon Hughes, Chiefs color analyst. Of course, everybody knows Danon for all the work that he does here at 610 Sports Radio. Matter of fact, 6 to 7, he's usually doing the players only that Julio does each and every week. And, of course, he's had a busy week and stuff, but he was at the
he was also there.
But here's when we come back, Danon's account of the situation.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.